You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
We've reached the second half of our program. I mentioned Roy Kramer joining us at the bottom of the hour, the legendary SEC commissioner. We'll talk to him about the current state in college football that continues to change. Let's spend just a moment talking about some of the things that are happening in the news. And the current commissioner, Greg Sankey, said today, we need to put some fresh eyes on the NCAA basketball tournament. He referenced Ole Miss being the final team in the College World Series, the NCAA tournament, and ultimately winning the College World Series. And who are the most important players in the SEC? A few familiar names coming up on the list. How about that? Players from all over the place. How about Ricks from LSU, now at Alabama? Quite a few interesting names on that list. And back to the calls, and another interesting caller here, J.K. from Alabama. Hello, J.K.
Hey, happy Friday, Charles Ellenhead Bessemer.
Wow, that's a good imitation there.
Hey, Paul, you know what? Let me go and tell the listening audience, don't get too happy. Jim will be back Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'm going to blame it all on Paul for answering the call.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know he can't stand it, Paul. But check this out. Legend, Alabama's not going to make the playoff this year. This is my opinion and my prediction. They're not going to make the playoff. And Jim won't be the only person in Bryce Hospital. It's going to be overcrowded with Alabama fans. But check this out, Paul. I got two requests, and I'm going to let the other callers get in. Can you please bring Tim Brando to the show sometime before the season starts? It doesn't matter when. And I wanted to talk to you about this the last time I called, but it slipped my mind. But I just wanted to ask you, is it possible to throw a beach ball as fast as you can and still slow when you're asking questions to the commissioner of the playoff committee? The next time he comes on, take some calls from the callers. Let us question him, because those questions you asked him was just as basic and vanilla as they could be. So next time, can you please let us ask him some questions, sir?
Yeah. J.K., I think that's an excellent idea. In fact, any interview that you would like to be a part of, just let me know.
I just want to ask him a couple of questions.
Can't wait. Let's check out Eddie, who is in Georgia next. Eddie, go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hey, Eddie.
Guy, you know, I wanted to talk about Georgia, but, you know, we had so many good calls in today and so much animosity, I guess, about Alabama. But I got a comment, then I'm going to get to my question, and I'll have you just kind of speak back on it.
Okay.
You ought to be grateful as Georgia Bulldogs fans just for the work that Alabama put in that made us work harder and get up to the level that they on. So I'm really happy for the success that Alabama has had that made us level up. But let me ask you this. I know that Ryan Day, let's get on this Big Ten talk.
Okay.
Because we always got Jeff calling in from Big Ten. Ryan Day hasn't been up there that long. Record looks good. Over 30 record wins and maybe four or five losses. At what point is he on the hot seat when so much expectation and so much talent up there? At what point is he on the hot seat as far as winning big games? I'm going to let you respond to that, and I'm going to go ahead and get off. Enjoy your evening, man.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it. I don't see Ryan Day being on the hot seat at all. He's been in the playoffs twice. He's played for the national championship once. Last year was disappointing only in that he lost the early game to to Oregon, and then of course the Michigan game was a major embarrassment. But that happens, and he's got one of the best teams in the country coming back. I mean, I think you get in trouble when you don't beat your rivals and you don't play for championships and you really just don't do anything important. And he's done all of those things in succeeding Urban Meyer. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Davis in Wisconsin. Hey, Davis, go right ahead.
I'm a Rocco Marouse who likes the show. And I like to congratulate Elko and Ole Miss and Adam Hall in Florida and all SEC competitors. Godfather, have you heard from the Pirates since media days?
No, I have not.
Okay, I wonder what he's up to besides just trying to win one game each week.
I am not certain, but that's a good question. Well, we'll see if we
all
can.
All right, you have a great weekend. Love your show.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Brian is up next. Hey, Brian, you're on the air.
All right, you there?
Yes, sure. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I got two things. One, listen to you. I love your show. Been watching it for years.
Thank you.
Sounds like some Georgia fans, not a lot of them, but they turned into we're the best ever, and it took us 41 years, and I've been with Georgia my whole life, and I live in Northeast Georgia, and I got a lot of Alabama fans here, and I just want to tell everybody, hey, don't do that. But second of all, just want to talk about Georgia's offense. I know the wide receiver and the tight end situation with Todd Monken, and he says he's here to get paid to score, which I really love to hear. But running backs, you know, I know we got McIntosh, Milton, and Edwards, but they seem like, to me, they're going to be more like James Cook, and I'm just wondering if you think that Paul and Robinson could be the bridger backs that, you know, we're used to. And I just want to hear what you had to say about that, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, I think the one thing about Georgia that I like offensively is that there's so many weapons, and, you know, not to sound like everybody else, but when you have dynamic people at tight end, it makes it so much easier. I know there's still a level of uncertainty among some people with Stetson Bennett. It really is not as much as I thought it would be, but you know, he's one bad game away from being in the center of the storm, but he's been in the center of the storm for a long time. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jared is up next. Good afternoon.
Happy Friday, Paul.
Hi there.
Hey, I was actually driving through Arkansas to see my fiance, and I just happened across your show on the radio, and I was just so excited. A long time listener, first time caller.
Well, thank you.
Well, and what's crazy, we're actually here in about a month and a half, we're getting married in Fayetteville on October 1st, which is the weekend of the Alabama Arkansas game.
Whoa!
So, it's wish me luck. It's going to be a wild day.
Well, Jared, so where will you be living with your fiance from out there?
Well, I'm actually importing her back to Alabama.
Boy, that's going to be risky. So is she an Arkansas person?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
Yeah, we're going to be a divided household.
Yeah. Well, considering it's been a few years since Arkansas has beaten Alabama, you might be okay.
I think I might be safe, but hey, they're trending upward. I mean, they're really, every time I come up here, I mean, there's a different buzz, you know, on campus, you know, from what it has been in years past. And I'm excited for them personally, you know, for her family. I think they're going to be successful. I really like Sam Pittman.
We're going to be up there in 3 weeks. If you're up there that weekend, come by and say hello.
Sounds good. Hey, you're always welcome to come to the wedding. You wanted me to make sure that you knew you were invited.
Well, I tell you what, is it on a Saturday or when is it?
Yes, sir, October 1st.
What time?
I think it's kind of around game time. We're supposed to have the game on during the reception.
Okay.
Like an afternoon.
The only reason I bring that up is I have a pretty good idea where I'm going to be that day, and I'm not going to be that far. I'm not going to be in Arkansas, but I'm going to be within about 200 or 300 miles. If I could borrow Tebow's plane to drop me off there, I think I can make it.
Man, let's make it happen. Hey, Paul, I wanted to make a couple comments about the Heisman and then get your take on it. I've kind of started to question the intent of the Heisman Trophy and whether it's to award the best player in the country or is it to award the player with the best offensive stats. And at least need to say, I think Will Anderson should be the front runner, but I'm assuming that he won't because he doesn't play offense. And so I wanted to know, you know, do you think that Will Anderson has a legitimate shot to win the Heisman? And do you think that the trophy, the award has morphed into something or not? Just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, Jared, good luck on your wedding, and let me hear from you. I think the award is a publicity contest, and I think it's entirely possible Will Anderson could win this year. And the main reason I think he can win this year is because he did not get invited to New York last year, and so many people talked about it, starting with Bryce Young, who did win. And then remember Will Anderson talked about it a couple of weeks ago when we spoke to him. He is such a dominating player, and I think if Alabama does what they are predicted to do and he completes his mission, I think he's got a real shot. And, you know, there is going to be an issue with Bryce Young because the voting is often regionally, and there could be some canceling out. But I think as a voter, I'll give you my view of that. Unless Bryce Young is spectacular, I think those who voted for Bryce Young last year might say, you know what, I'm going to vote for Will Anderson first this year and maybe Bryce Young second or third. Some of it depends on who else is involved. I think C.J. Stroud will be a contender. There could be anybody, there could be a lot of contenders that we're not aware of right now. The key to the Heisman is always, are you playing for something at the end of the season? I know there have been outliers, Johnny Manziel, Robert Griffin, but most of the time, you better be in contention that final weekend. Let's take a break. A lot to do here, including the former commissioner of the SEC, Roy Kramer, at the bottom of the hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we're back. Eric is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon, Eric. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Paul. I want to discuss with you Andy Staples' marvelous interview.
He did a
great job.
Thank you.
You did a great job. And I think he's right in that Virginia and North Carolina, because of geography, would be the ones invited, although I don't understand why we wouldn't invite anyone, because they would bring the TV markets, but they would also be easy wins for the existing teams.
That might
so
be the main reason.
No problem saying yes.
Well,
but
yeah, I mean, TV drives it. It's not the only factor, but when you go and include the University of Virginia and the University of North Carolina, which are the dominant school in both states, you're adding a lot of geography. You can't find that anywhere else.
That's the point. I'm agreeing with him wholeheartedly. Now, that's what FSU and Clemson have going against them in every conceivable way. And you have mentioned Clemson as a possible entry as well as FSU, and geography is the thing that they can overcome.
But Eric,
they are in the
I would argue, though, and you're right, but we've made the case for geography, but there's also the case for brand. I think there'll be four schools included, so that's maybe more along my thinking. And so much depends on Notre Dame, too, and the betting line on that right now is that they won't move. But I've had people inside tell me that it's harder to go to 18 than it is to 20. I can't even explain it. So that's part of the rationale. But, Clemson and Florida State don't bring you much, but they also maybe I'm partial to Clemson because of the national stature, but, you know, where is Clemson going to be in 2 years or 3 years? Will they be the same as they were 2 years ago?
The answer is no, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
What they have going against them is the fact that they are in the recruiting footprint of six SEC teams, Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And they will in no way say, let's include them in our league.
Well, you've made a great point, and a lot of times people forget this when they say, why is this school doing well, or oftentimes, it's as much a part of what is not happening around them. And, you know, look at Tennessee. Tennessee has opened the door for a lot of schools to move ahead of them in the last 15 years. South Carolina has finally gotten its momentum back. Florida can't seem – Florida has missed so many opportunities to steamroll while Florida State has been in absolute chaos since Jimbo Fisher left, and Miami similarly. So you're right, and I don't. I would. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking Wall Street, I would dump every ounce of stock I had in Clemson right now. I don't think it will ever reach the levels that it did 2 or 3 years ago.
If they join the conference, they couldn't win.
They would have a harder time. Now, I think they have a good team this year, but that's not what we're talking about. And too often fans look too short. Sure, you know, I've been to Wall Street, but I've never traded on Wall Street. Wall Street's about the future. It's not about what's happening right now. It's already too late.
Well, I just cannot see any reason for the SEC to expand. But I just don't see how those six teams are going to not vote veto.
Well, let me answer that, okay?
Yeah.
Years ago, that would have been a major issue. And we thought it was going to be an issue a year and a month ago, and it wasn't, because the commissioner of the SEC has almost total authority over what he is going to do for this reason. By the time it gets to that point, the decision has already been made, and he has already consulted enough people that are going to support him. It's a great lead into where we're going next, because we have a man next who was part of the first major expansion of the conference in a long time, and that was back in 92 when South Carolina and Arkansas joined. We'll talk to Roy Kramer right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back, and I can't tell you what pleasure it gives me to say hello to our next guest. He is Roy Kramer. Has always been gracious with his time, and even when he was the commissioner, and even when occasionally I might find one or two things to disagree with him about. Commissioner Kramer, it is so great to have you on.
It's great to hear your voice, Paul.
And I've said this to you before, but we all miss your wife, Sarah Jo, but I never minded when you found fault with me. When she criticized me, I went running for the doors because she was terrifying in defense of her husband.
She was pretty strong.
And she got me good one day on the air, by the way, as you probably remember.
Yeah. Well, we had good days.
We had some great times.
It's
so good to have you on. And I mean, we were talking about you the other day, just what you must be thinking about as you're watching history repeat itself in so many respects with the SEC and the Big Ten playing a game of Monopoly, but for a lot more money than it used to be. What are your thoughts on all the things that have been happening this summer, especially with the Big Ten?
Well, certainly... you know, the events of the last few days where we reflected on the breakup of the NCAA television package, which really was the beginning of all of these issues that have come along since then, Paul, if you look back
right
in time. And I was reflecting, I can remember very clearly the debate discussions at that time. I was the athletic director, better, but discussions of the SEC, because I happened to be the chairman of the SEC Television Committee at the time, of trying to decide whether we were going to pull out of the NCAA television package. It was very controversial, and of course, obviously, we eventually did, and of course, joined the what then became the College Football Association, and that, of course, led to the lawsuit, which was filed by the University of Georgia and the University of Oklahoma, which led to the breakup of the NCAA television and the eventual establishment of conference television packages, and indirectly or directly had some impact on the expansion that took place back at that time. The expansions that have taken place here recently, I don't believe were totally unexpected, particularly in the case of the SEC. I felt the addition of both Texas and Oklahoma were a strong plus for the conference, not only from a marketing position, but from a competitive position as well. They're two great state universities, very similar to our state universities, and I think that meshes very well to make it a stronger conference. The Big Ten's expansion perplexes me a little bit, because you're talking about totally non-geographic alignment. And I don't know how you build that into strong traditional rivalries and the things that have made college football so strong in the past, because you've got two teams on the West Coast and everybody else spread around the country from there. Now, that one is unique, and whether it works or not, I'm not sure. But certainly it's there, and it's there primarily, Paul, because of television.
Yeah, and Commissioner, it's also there because the SEC made a big move, and you know that battle quite well. It's almost like these two conferences, one may be dominating on the national scene like our conference is, but the other one has to figure out a way to get noticed, and did they ever?
Well, that's true, and that's been true all down through history, Paul, if you look back, as conference has expanded, as the SEC expanded back with South Carolina and Arkansas. You saw that trend continue across the country in other conferences, and that's what you're seeing right now, of course.
Commissioner, as all these things happen, you know, many who have watched the games for a long time become very concerned, and I know that so far the game keeps growing and the money keeps piling in, but what would be your most serious concerns about where we are right now moving forward?
Well, of course, you've got a myriad of issues out there today, Paul, as you well know, television being one of them, and to some degree affecting everything else, because to a degree that has driven the NIL issue, it has driven other issues across the board. The game itself changed greatly once the television factor came into being. I can remember vividly that when we had the first College Football Association television package, the conferences were able to, in that negotiation with College Football Association, have the early afternoon window to themselves. This was the first time conferences by themselves had ever negotiated in any way. And we, of course, negotiated for a couple of years to start with a early afternoon package with Turner Broadcasting, if you can remember back that far.
Oh, sure.
And then that eventually grew in, of course, the Jefferson Pilot package. And then, of course, eventually in about 1995, when CBS approached us, we decided to withdraw from the College Football Association. And I might add, at that point in time, that was extremely controversial. I had a lot of good friends that weren't going to speak to me forever, but they all came around eventually. But we pulled out of the college football. We first of all pulled out of the NC, and then we pulled out of the College Football Association and negotiated what I felt was perhaps one of the biggest changes that came along for the Southeastern Conference and from a national image, and that was the independent package with CBS for the 3:30 package every Saturday afternoon on a major network.
Commissioner, on that front, and I'm sure you've seen the stories, not official yet, but it's happening with ESPN moving on from the Big Ten, and the Big Ten having the primary Fox deal, and then the two other, I was about to call them secondary deals, but they're not secondary, with the reports are with CBS and NBC. What do you think of that strategy to leave ESPN and chart a completely different course?
Well, that is unique. You know, perhaps the biggest change that's come onto the scene in television from my early days to today is the growth of ESPN, the network itself, which has become sort of the namesake of college, not only college athletics, all sports. And as a result, has an enormous power and enormous strength in the market, as well as in the market for fans and interest and all of the things that go along with it. And for the Big Ten to go to turn your back on that is very unique. And I will wait to see how that works out. As the SEC has moved forward, as you well know, because you're a part of it, with the SEC network, which is highly tied to ESPN, and as a result, all right, the major network policy plan moving over to ABC, the SEC has been able to maintain a very strong national package. Now, can you do that with blending three or four or five networks together? That remains to be seen.
We're talking to Commissioner Roy Kramer, and Commissioner, I'm particularly interested in as somebody, and this is the part of your career that we never talk about, but you were an outstanding football coach, an extraordinary coach that I know you're too humble to reflect back on. But so you understand the evolution of the player over time. But we are now a year and a month into NIL, and from your perch, what are your thoughts on how it's going and where what happens next?
Well, it's sort of a Wild West experience out there right now, unfortunately. We're not able to take some strong steps as this began to happen, and as a result, came down through the courts before either the NCAA or anybody else really addressed the issue. The issue has been there, Paul, for a great length of time, the issue of likenesses and images. It started, and I knew this was going to happen because we turned it down, but a number of conferences, and including the NCAA, put together those television games, as you recall, that used the images and numbers and likenesses of players that were actually playing the game. And once you do that, certainly there is a demand for that student athlete to have a piece of that income. And once that happened, before anybody got far down that lane, then the door was wide open and the courts came in, of course, and made their rulings. And now we're in the middle of that. I'm an eternal optimist. I believe to some degree the market itself will level that off to a degree. But I also believe at some point in time, the powers to be in the major conferences have got to be able to address through some type of congressional action, as slow as that may be, some type of a monitoring system that brings some degree of level competition into the situation. Now, you know, the NFL, the baseball people years ago got some antitrust exemptions that made it possible for them to work through some of these issues. The NCAA did not. And I think what you're seeing right now is the turmoil as a result of that.
Commissioner, and you know, over your career, you've dealt with many parts of the NCAA, have served on every imaginable important committee. But it just seems like the NCAA has never fallen farther, at least from a perception standpoint. Now you even see commissioners talking about the leadership and are a big part of the transformation of where it's going. Does that position really matter as much, or do you think there is a possibility that football could have one leader, even though I think it may take about 10 years to pick that person? I'm curious what you think about all that.
Yes, as you well know, and anybody who studies the landscape very closely, we at television, and this once again goes back to what we're talking about, television, Paul, the television markets have driven a significant division between the various levels of college football, led, of course, by the SEC and the Big Ten and other conferences, the so-called Big Five, who have had access to that marketplace to a degree that far outreaches all of the other institutions that are participating in intercollegiate athletics. And as a result, I think you have to begin to realize that as a reality of the world. And that reality is that those kinds of schools with those kinds of programs and that kind of income have got to be able to monitor and manage their level of competition, particularly the sport of football, from all of the other schools that have been a part of the NCAA.
Finally, Commissioner, there's so much talk about the haves and the have-nots, and this is a conversation that you've heard. I mean, you were the athletic director at Vanderbilt for a long time, and your program saw a great deal of success, far more than we are seeing today. For schools like that, that I know you care deeply about, what does the future look like, especially as we escalate the prices and the power going to a smaller amount?
Well, Vanderbilt is a unique school in a sense, as is Northwestern, in that they have a position in that conference that has been maintained through the years. One of the great credits I give to the institutional presidents, particularly the SEC, is that the SEC addressed every school to be an equal. They split the money with the bowl games. They split the money with television. They split the money with everything that occurred right down the line between 10, 12, 14, how many ever number of schools. There never was a special interest there. There never was a special arrangement for a special school, as Texas had at one time with the Big 12. That never occurred in our conference, and our president saw to it that it wasn't going to happen. That type of unanimous agreement by those individuals has made it possible for a Vanderbilt, and to some degree in other conferences, a Northwestern in the Big Ten, to be able, while not always competitive and across the board in the conference, to be able to continue to survive in that conference across the board and enjoy some success, as you well know, as Vanderbilt has in baseball and basketball, women's basketball, and other sports, but perhaps not at the top level in football. But the SEC's ability to help them in a significant way financially, because they are the same as Alabama or Georgia or anybody else in the conference, has made it possible for them to survive. That's unique from a lot of conferences. As you well know, a lot of conferences cut special deals with special teams. When we started our expansion, one of the strongest instructions I was given by our president, we are not going to cut any deal with any school special. If you want to come into the Southeastern Conference, you come in as one of us, not as where you have been in the past or how you have driven the market or anything else. You come in exactly the same as Alabama or Georgia or Mississippi State or Vanderbilt or Kentucky. And I think that's been one of the great strengths of the Southeastern Conference through the year. Now, I'm prejudiced, Paul, as you well know, for the SEC, but I believe that very strongly.
Well, you also have backed it up throughout an extraordinary career. Commissioner, so great to be able to visit and for so many people to hear your thoughts. You be well, and we hope to see you again very soon.
I'll do that. I look forward to seeing you somewhere along the trail this year.
I can't wait. Roy Kramer, the former commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, one of the most influential people in the history of intercollegiate athletics, talking to us, 92 years old. We will take a short break, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Handsome Joe is up next. What do you got, Handsome?
Roll Tide, roll Paul Feinbaum. And, hey, I'll be honest, I ain't been able to call in but maybe once this week, but I've listened to the show every day this week, and I took a lot of this in, Paul. But there is one thing in particular that I want to get to, and I talked to Jamari about this, so I know y'all know a little bit about this. But there was a guy on Twitter that kept texting me, sending me messages, telling me to call these three different numbers in Georgia, saying that AC's talking crap about you, he's doing all this. And I said, well, I may call. And then he sent me a message. He said, hey, do you got a different phone number you can call into Paul Feinbaum? You got me giving this to me? And I said, no, I don't. And even if I did, I don't give out nobody's number anyway. It's on the TV screen. And then I just quit answering the messages. And yesterday, he sent me a message. It was actually AC. He said, when I read it, and I said, when I got to the part, I'm going to Canada. Hey, I stopped reading right there and blocked him. And, you know, all I can say is, hey, Paul, this guy's nutty in a patch of peanuts. I mean, his elevator, I mean, it don't
That's
go
really nutty.
Up. I mean, the toilet water was, a delicacy. He'd be a whole buffet. But, you know, he can take his ass to Canada. We don't care. He's going to call your show and say, I love you, but then say, I hate Americans. I mean, this guy's nutty. I mean, he's somebody needs to have him put in a psychiatric ward somewhere, because he just, and give him a toy phone, a fake phone, and just make him think he's talking to somebody. Because I mean, he lost his ever loving mind, Paul. I'm sure he's done this to everybody else. So if y'all got some guy, anybody out there that's missing, y'all saying, call in these AC. Do not call those numbers, because he probably just wants your phone number. And God knows what he wants, Paul. But there's one other thing I'd like to say, Paul. I heard you say something about a horse ride.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.